Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gamper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of Vegas Scores and Odds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419, 1-800-808-3419, or go to VegasScoresandOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike Swingman, and we have tons of breaking news to report on, including the announcement by Tua Tagovailoa to enter the NFL draft, Mike McCarthy hired as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. We will review the four NFL wildcard games from this weekend. Wow, lots of controversy. We'll talk about the career of Kyle Long as he retires as a member of the Chicago Bears and from the NFL. And of course, we'll take a look back at the press conference that the Chicago Bears had with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. And Nagy said that he was going to reflect on his coaching staff. And then an hour later, he fires four members of the coaching staff. So we'll talk about that and a lot more. Let's bring him in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Happy New Year to you, Aldo, and to Donna, and to the family, and to everybody at Bears Barroom. It's good to talk to you again. I gotta be honest, I missed you. We're like brothers. I missed you.
I missed you too.
I missed the banter and stuff like that, and watching the games. Don't forget about Vegas Scores and Odds, folks, right now. And I'm gonna have one pick today, three on Wednesday. I'm going to start making some picks on Monday, get everybody ahead. I got a college basketball game tonight, and I'm 8-2 my last 7 days in college basketball. At Vegas Scores and Odds, I have NBA, and I have the bowl game tonight on VegasScoresandOdds.com. Go to the tweet, go to my Twitter handle at North to North, or just go to VegasScoresandOdds.com. Follow at VSAO. So it's going to be it's been a good run. The odds couple yesterday, I end up going 1-2. Carmen goes 1-0 for ESPN 1000. We're 2-2. And like I've always told Aldo, there's two things you cannot predict. Two things you cannot handicap, ladies and gentlemen. One is turnovers. I'll give you a perfect example. I had Wisconsin for the Rose Bowl. They should have won that game going away. They fumbled three times through an interception. So you had four turnovers. And yesterday, after winning the New England game with Tennessee, after knocking off with Minnesota, getting that one done, I had Philadelphia, and that would have been a winner. But he got hurt, and you can't predict injury, my friend.
You certainly can't. anytime you've got money on the line and something like that happens, it's a dagger to the heart, isn't it?
You know what? It was, but when I saw Josh McCown come in, I said to myself, this is one of my latter-day heroes, basically. Here's a guy that's been in the league 17 years. He still is like third highest all-time in quarterback ranking for a full season with the Bears at 109, behind Peyton Manning for a season and Phillip Rivers. And he had 13 touchdowns, one interception. We were on our way to the playoffs, and they brought Cutler back in, and then we didn't go to the playoffs. They took the ball out of the guy's hands. He was having a superstar year, even though he was a journeyman quarterback. So I did not feel bad. And then, you know what? I just saw what was going on. I said, you know what? It's not going to happen. Russell Wilson is one of my favorite quarterbacks. Aldo knows that. And there's a reason for it. The guy just figures out a way to win, and he gets it done.
You ain't kidding. He really is a special quarterback. And you mentioned Josh McCown. I've got a soundbite of him after the game, an emotional Josh, saying, you know, this is it. He's had a long run, 40-year-old. He knew his body wasn't ready to take any more punishment, and he really gave it his all in that game. This was the emotional Josh McCown after the game.
Probably with a sour taste, but thankful. Thankful. My wife and my family have moved around a lot and been a lot and been there for me. And so, and mom and dad. And so to go out there and get to play in a playoff game was special. And I can't thank them enough for their support.
That is just a heart-rending moment. You got to give your hat and heart out to Josh McCown. I mean, here's a guy who you talk about a journeyman. So many different teams, so many different years. He was a high school football coach during the middle of his career because he couldn't get a job. The Bears find him. He plays excellent football for the Bears. Like you said, he probably played better than Jay Cutler did. And then
he played better than Cutler. He played better at times, better than Harbaugh did. That one year he was on fire. I'm not going to say it would have lasted,
sure.
But I was a guy that said, you're playing poker, he's your poker player, don't get him up from the table and put the other guy in. And you know what? I always thought Josh McCown was everything Cutler wasn't. Amiable, the team loved him, every team he's been on, and there's been plenty, loves the guy, goes to play hard every single game. And believe me, when I saw him crying, I was crying too because I had the Eagles. But that's okay because you know what? That's the way to go out in a playoff game. And he went down slugging. That's what he did.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this game. The Seahawks were favored to win by a point and a half. The final was Seahawks 17, Eagles 9. The point total was 45, so the under came in under. The Seahawks had a hard time running the ball all game. Yeah, you know, Beast Mode had some couple of highlight runs, Marshawn Lynch, but they still had some trouble running the ball. And like you said, Russell Wilson was just phenomenal. He just makes things happen. And this new receiver that he's got, DK Metcalf, what a weapon he is. And Russell talked about it after the game, complimenting all of the receivers, but spotlighting DK.
It's really fun playing with those guys. They make it easy on me. And DK was special tonight. I mean, he's been special all year. He's one of the best rookies that's come out. And he got a nice little chip on his shoulder, too. You know, and I'm glad he's on our team, that's for sure. And he's on our team for a long time.
Yeah, he's a young player, and he's only going to get better and better, right, Mike?
Well, they showed him with the shirt off, okay? The last time I saw my ribs, I was 11. It was my birthday party, and I was just getting ready to put my shirt on. I mean, you know what? I mean, seriously, this guy's got muscle upon muscle.
Yeah.
I don't want to be suspicious, but if I had to pick a guy out for pharmaceuticals, I would pick him. My God.
That's right. Pee into this cup.
And what a stud. He took over the game, much to my chagrin. I give him all the credit in the world, and, you know, I just think that Seattle, they haven't lost to Philadelphia. They got their number. Pete Carroll's a winner. I don't understand why Philadelphia twice, and I don't want to hear from the college kids about analytics. He passed up two field goals, one with 4 minutes and 50 seconds left, one with like 2 minutes and 58 seconds left.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That would have kept it down They would have only been 2 points back at that point with 2 minutes left in the game.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't get it. He's going for it. The guy drops the ball. Kick the field goal. Reward yourself with some points. There wasn't a minute and 30 left. There was like 4.5 minutes left in the game.
Right. Especially when you got a quarterback who is replacing your starting quarterback, and that quarterback has only played with the scout team. He is not taking any reps with the first team for weeks and weeks and weeks. It just didn't make any sense to me. I don't get it.
What is going on, Aldo, with these guys passing up points? Like I said, okay, don't kick the field goal if there's less than 2 minutes.
Right.
But you got 450 left, you got 250 left,
right,
and you're passing them up.
Right.
I go, are you kidding me? That's almost the equivalent of a touchdown you gave away there. And even my wife, Beebe, sitting there going, why aren't they kicking the field goal here? I go, Bee, don't ask me. You're supposed to take points. That's it. And it would have been only down to a field goal. Instead, by the end of the game, they were done anyway, but you had to score a touchdown and then convert.
Yep.
If anything, when you're down 8, kick the first field goal to get rid of the extra point, the 2-point conversion. So a touchdown then will win the game for you. I don't understand, and nobody questions it. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And that Seahawks defense was harassing Josh McCown all day. He was sacked 6 times on just 34 dropbacks. And so you got to, just like you said, you got to take the points any way they come.
How do you pass on points like that?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't get it. And look, is it because I bet on the game? No. If I'm an Eagle fan today, I'm asking myself the question.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's worried about pass interference in the end zone.
Yeah.
Okay, for enough. Nobody's talking about these other games because it's all about now soap opera. It's all about drama. The call that should have been made. Replay has done nothing but elongate games and leave human beings up to question because now I think this is the last year for that one-year rule. I think that rule's gone next year. They got to get it off the books. And I'm not thinking it was pass interference, but the fact that we're talking about it, come on, you know?
I am with you 100%. That rule, if you're going to put a rule like that up, and we are, of course, talking about the pass interference rule that can be reviewed.
It gives 4 leads another reason to cry.
Right. That's
they haven't finished the game. Drew Brees, listen, I got to be honest, he's average, folks. Nobody's asking him if he's going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's asking the other guy, Tom Brady, if he's going to retire. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
The guy threw for 4,300 yards, 66%, 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I wish the Bear quarterback had that number.
How about it? All right, Mike, I wanted to play a soundbite from after that Eagles game. Zach Ertz, the tight end, excellent tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles, talked a little bit about the injuries that he sustained 2 weeks ago in a win over the Dallas Cowboys. And I want to share it with you just because it highlights the physical sacrifice these athletes do for entertainment. Of course, they're making millions of dollars, so, you know, let's not...
Yeah, just a sidebar.
Yeah, just as a sidebar. But this was...
Are you going to have a pity party for these guys?
I always do. These guys, I don't...
I know you do. That's the wonderfulness of you. You know what I mean?
That's right. I appreciate the fact that they put their lives on the line, and this is...
That's right.
They do, Mike. You know they do. But here it comes.
You know, it's not like they're an Iranian general or anything. Anything like that, you know what I'm saying to you?
Here it goes.
It's not like they're walking a girder on the 85th floor, but I get what you're saying. Nobody's really been claimed dead, but I know they have their little aches and pains. I understand. But I'll roll with you on this.
All right.
So we can continue.
I went to the bathroom, and there was some blood in the urine. The medical staff here rushed me to the hospital where it was determined that I had a kidney injury.
Stayed at the hospital. All right, that's an alert. Stop it. I apologize to Zach Ertz. I didn't know about the blood in the urine. That was, as soon as that happens, men go into shock. Okay?
I know.
Okay. All due apologies. I know you're not going to die from it, but the blood in the urine thing,
ooh,
you get that or blood in the stool.
Yep.
Okay? You get the shovel. You get the shovel and you start walking towards Roseville.
That's
it.
It's all over with. All right, enough about Zach Ertz. We know how you feel about
it. No, I'm with you. know, the blood in the urine, man.
Yeah.
I am.
All right.
Nobody wants that. Have you ever had blood in your urine?
Never, and thank God for that.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I don't want to see that.
Well, Gail Sayers told me once, man, I go to the Mayo Clinic, Mike. I get a checkup every year. They'll find every little thing.
Oh, yeah.
If they find a little pea-sized blood in your urine, they'll investigate it. I go, I don't want to know that shit. I'll go to my doctor in the Uptown Bank building, okay? I want him to say your heart's beating, your blood pressure's good, have a nice day. I don't need to find a stick of blood and go through hell.
There you go.
Right?
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you 110%.
Hope everybody's enjoying their lunch. The blood in the urine segment.
All right, the Vikings, a 26-20 winner. The Vikings were... giving 4 points. The money line said Minnesota minus 190, New Orleans plus 180. Over under was 45.5. And that game, talk about, you know, there were a lot of highlights for the Vikings' performance. Dalvin Cook rushing for 130 yards from scrimmage, 2 touchdowns. But Kirk Cousins probably was the headliner because he finished with 242 yards and 1 touchdown passes and got that monkey off his back that he can't win a playoff game. This guy making like $80 million, all of it guaranteed. He was brought in to win playoff games, and he finally was able to do that with some really great throws there at the end. But like you said, lots of controversy over the last touchdown pass that he threw to his tight end. Was it pass interference? Wasn't it pass interference? Why did the referees walk off the field so quickly? And Al Riveron said afterwards, we looked at all the angles that Fox TV afforded us, and Fox gave us some great views. There is contact by both players, but none of that contact rises to the level of a foul. This is consistent with what we've done all year. Mike, the referees left the field immediately after the play was called, the touchdown. They didn't stick around to wait for anybody to look at replays. That man, Alfonso Riveron, whatever his name is, he's full of it.
Well, I will tell you this, and I had Minnesota yesterday, so I was very happy about the way it turned out, but it would have been covered anyway at him at 7.5. You could call the push-off, but before that, there was hand-fighting, like you said.
Yeah.
I thought it was incidental.
Okay.
Here's another thing. I don't think had Rudolph dropped the ball that anything would have been called. Okay? So, either way, I thought that the defensive back made it look too easy for him to catch. He didn't jump. He looked back. I know the guy's taller than him. I know he got shoved away. Believe me, Rudolph's about 250, 260 pounds. He's a big ball player.
Right.
And that shove can mean a difference. I just thought it was too simple. I mean, those plays hardly ever work, it seems to me. You know, those alley-oop type plays where you just try to out-throw the defensive back, but it worked. It's up for interpretation. I had no problem with the call. I really didn't, but I had Minnesota, so I understand where some people be upset.
Well, and you got, again, credit the Cousins because he sees the matchup. He's got his 6'5" tight end. He's got a 6-foot defensive back there. And you're absolutely right. That defensive back should have turned around, located the ball.
Turn around and look.
Yeah, go around, turn around and look. And that way, when you start going for the ball, you can make contact with the receiver and not get called for a penalty. But he didn't give himself any chance other than to get pushed, and that's what happened.
It was so easy how he caught that ball.
It was almost like
anti-dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happened so fast and so easy. And you know what? I didn't really think it would be pass interference, but the way they replay, look, you can call it on every play if you're going to use replay the way it's supposed to be used. These guys are touching each other. They got to give the defensive back some cachet, which I think they did yesterday. I mean, it's not like Rudolph was doing all the shoving. It was back and forth until the end that it was that shove. Now, John Perry, a former referee, said on ESPN that he thought it was. Okay?
Right.
Others have said they thought it wasn't. So here we go again. And, you know, it gives New Orleans an out. The bottom line is Drew Brees. They're asking Brady about retiring. How about him? Where was he yesterday?
Oh.
I mean, where are all the points?
Yeah.
You're supposed to put up more than they put up. Good ball game. give Kirk Cousins all the credit in the world. You know, you have to hear the nonsense. He can't win on Monday night. He can't win the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. And he's always got a chip on the shoulder. That's why I love him. And he got it done. And this tells you how far we are with the Chicago Bears. When I've always said this, we have the fourth best quarterback in the division. And that's a problem, folks. And that ain't going away soon, because you're going to have Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs next week. And you're going to have Kirk Cousins, both from the NFC North. Not good.
Lots of great debate on this very topic of pass interference in the chat room. And those of you listening to the podcast, let me just tell you that you should stop by and listen to us live on noon on Mondays and Wednesdays and participate in the chat room, ask Mike questions and so forth. We'll get you engaged. All you got to do is go to Mixlr, MIXLR.com, and then search for Bears Ballroom Radio Network. And you register, it's all free. It's free, as Mike North says in his commercials.
You gotta get for free. Just go out there, check it out, folks. And, you know, we have the podcast up afterwards. Eldo does a great job, like he's been doing. We're getting one week near the 100th show pretty soon, so...
Yeah.
I think we're a couple shows away, right?
That is correct. Two or three. I'll double check. But, yeah, very soon.
Man, we made it through 100 shows,
can
me
and you. Can you believe that?
I'm hitting the wall, man. I'm starting to hit the wall.
All right. You mentioned Tom Brady, and you are absolutely right. Immediately after the loss, the 20-13 loss, Brady faced the media and was asked about retiring. What's his future? Is he coming back with the Patriots? And this is what he said.
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously it's the greatest organization, and you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years, and for Coach Belichick. I mean, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me. And just being with them, I'm very blessed. And I don't know what the future looks like, so, and I'm not going to predict it. So, I wish we'd have won tonight. Wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
Mike, if you're Tom Brady, are you thinking, you know what, I'm just going to hang it up. I got a beautiful wife. I've got millions in the bank. Or are you thinking, you know what, I'm going to figure out a way to work out a deal with the Patriots. I want to finish my career here. Or do you say, you know what, it is time for me to get paid. I've been the best quarterback in the NFL, and now it's time for me to think about myself. I'm going to go out there and get the best deal possible. Which one of those three things are you doing?
All right, I'm going to just put it in the amateur status. I played softball till I was in my late 50s. I played football till I was in my early 50s. I played basketball till I was in my mid-40s. I play racquetball. And you know what? I got money and a beautiful wife. The bottom line is, if you can do what he does, as good as anybody, Aldo, and you know this, if you had a show that consistently finished number one, because you were you're a big TV guy.
Right.
But this year we dropped to number 10 in the ratings out of like a 50, you know, let's in the old days when you had 40, 50 shows. You're still playing. You're still doing your job. It's no different than radio, TV, or whatever. This guy, and today I tweeted out, Tom Brady this year was 66%, 4,057 yards, 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and made the playoffs. And people are actually saying he should retire. They'll reload. He's a great quarterback with plenty left. And then Yurko answered and said, and he has 1 year of experience playing without a competent tight end.
Yep.
And that's what my point was all year long on Bears Barrel, long before I got on AM 1000.
That's right.
You can't lose a top 100 player of all time and not have it affect you.
Right.
And Gronkowski made the receivers better. He made everybody else around it better, and he was the safety valve, the number one safety valve in maybe football history. When Brady was in trouble, you threw it to Gronk. It's gone. Nobody's more responsible. I'm sorry. He's the one that's responsible if Gronkowski plays yesterday and he played all year, I think they win. Sorry.
Oh, I'm
that's
with
just
you.
Me.
I'm with you, Mike. I am totally with you. Here's the other thing regarding Tom Brady. He has forfeited millions of dollars because he wanted to be on a winning
good
team.
Point.
And
now people are saying, is he going to retire or leave the Patriots? He's given back millions of dollars to make the Patriots better.
Yeah, exactly. So don't, if he is upset with the Patriots for not surrounding him with more weapons at the wide receiver and tight end position, then I wouldn't begrudge him if he said, you know what, I'm going to go talk to Chicago maybe.
No, he's never going to do that, man. He's too smart. He knows the Patriots got caught with their pants on. Who thought Gronkowski was going to retire? Who thought that Aaron Hernandez was going to go up and start shooting people? I mean, they've lost two great tight ends in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And then they've never had a running back worth a damn. I mean, Corey Dillon was okay. They had Randy Moss, but he was hanging on.
Right.
He was good.
Yeah, it's some excellent seasons.
Yeah, they've had other people that were just fitting in because Gronkowski was so good and the tight end's been their major strength.
Right.
I still think they need a little bit of more help defensively, but there's no doubt. I think if Gronkowski had retired, New England wins that game yesterday. You just don't take it. He's a top tight end ever.
Right.
Ever. I've seen them all. I've seen Ditka. I've seen Mackey. I've seen Fleming. I've seen all the great tight ends. Casper. I mean, great tight ends. From past and up to now, you know, Gates. Sorry, that Gronkowski cat is the best tight end I've ever seen in my life, and yep. It's hard to replace.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, one of the things that the Patriots have done wrong is that they never found at the wide receiver position long-term right. solutions. Like, they would pick up a Randy Moss for a couple of years because there was just enough money to kind of squeeze him in. They always had this kind of rent-a-player mentality. They never hit on a wide receiver in the draft that they could have counted on for at least 4 or 5 seasons, and that player established a long-term relationship with the quarterback. They approached the draft by collecting as many draft assets as possible, but they have never really hit big on any of them, and so that is a knock on a great, great franchise. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but, because New England's been in the Super Bowl 10 of Brady's 20 years. How phenomenal is that?
That is wild. Wow.
I mean, I'm just being honest. Even with their flaws,
wow.
I'm with you 100%. But they tried to bring in Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
If one of those lunatics works out,
that's the problem.
Which they can't, okay? They're both lunatics. Think about it, you know? And if one of them would have worked out, then who knows where they're standing. But you know what? Even Antonio Brown said on Twitter, I'll come back next year, but the only team I want to play for is the Patriots. I mean, really, I mean, this guy's living in a dream world. You know, he's delusional now. He burned them. So, it's really, I mean, it's tough for me to get on them when they're 12-4. You have a quarterback that has 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and you know what? They had a bad retirement. And you know what? To be honest with you, somebody else's turn. Maybe it is, but I'm not counting New England out in the next 2-3 years. I'm not. And I still think Brady's got plenty left.
I am with you. I think Brady does have more left. Last question regarding this game, because I really, really loved that chess match between Mike Vrabel and his mm-hmm. teacher, Bill Belichick, and I think the
right.
student won on Sunday or this weekend.
Well, you know what? I think Belichick, something like 14-14 against his former
wow.
player.
Wow. That, again.
So it's not like he dominates.
No.
You know?
No. Not at all, but I thought Vrabel did an excellent job coaching that team. And then you look at the stats, his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, who played really well all season, just didn't have any good numbers. He was 8-15. He had a touchdown, threw an interception. Brady's numbers were much better, although Brady did not throw a touchdown pass, and that was the thing. So it was
How about Derrick Henry? He's a beast.
Oh, my goodness, 182 yards.
I never thought he'd be much.
Really?
I thought Alabama had a run.
Yes.
For a while, a running
you.
Back
yep.
that just did okay.
Right.
You know?
You're absolutely right.
And I just never saw, you know, Mark Ingram, this guy, Humphreys, Bobby mm-hmm. Humphreys way back in the day. And I got to be honest, he's a beast.
Yeah.
If I was a defender in the fourth quarter, I would have hated it when he got
oh
the
my,
ball. You know?
Oh, my goodness. That's right. Can you imagine Eddie Jackson, who, by the way, has got a really nice payday from the Chicago Bears?
Did he get the payday in reverse? I mean, did they think what happened last year happened this year? I'm just asking. I'm not telling the Bears how to spend money on Eddie Jackson. I think he's a heck of a player. But really, if you were going to get that kind of money, you wanted last year's deal. That's the way I thought.
I hear you. But the thing is, if they want to see Eddie Jackson fulfill the length of that contract, they better keep him out of the way of guys like Derrick Henry, right?
Oh, my God. You know, I mean, I just said to myself, you're a defensive back, and now he's starting to break through the linebackers, and he's coming at the backs. They're 190 pounds. His knees run up to his head. You got to tackle him around the knees. Oh, that's got to be brutal. It really does.
Really brutal. All right, there was a 16-point lead by the Buffalo Bills over the Houston Texans, 16-0. And then the Bills give up 19 straight points to the Houston Texans, and then a field goal by Steven Hauschka, 47-yarder, tied it up with 5 seconds to go. The game goes into overtime, and unlike the Vikings-Saints game, there were a multiple series. There was the coin flip was won by the Texans. They went 3-and-out. Then Buffalo got the punt. They had a 9-play series, but resulted in no points. And then the Texans kicked the field goal to win the game. Where do you land on this controversy that the overtime in playoffs should be an entire quarter, or there should be more? It should look more like the football or college football.
I love how they preach safety, then they want to play an entire quarter of overtime. I love that. Let's make the Indianapolis 500, the Indianapolis 600, but we're really concerned for the drivers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm really concerned about my workers, but we've decided that the same crew is going to work 24/7. Okay, I mean, I get a kick out of the safety stuff because, I like it the way it is. If they get a touchdown on you, you didn't deserve the win. You know, you got to go to the length of the field usually. If there's a field goal, then the other team gets a chance and it can keep on going. I like it that way. But, you know, I had Houston in that game. Deshaun Watson, what a weekend for Bear fans to watch. Next week you'll see Mahomes. This week you saw Josh McCown. You saw a guy that Deshaun Watson, who should be the quarterback of the Bears if I had been the GM, and we'd have 10 years of wedded bliss together, because when you're a GM and you pick a player like that, that's why the pace thing is so puzzling, that he would move up to get Mitch Trubisky. You're connected to your quarterback. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. There's a lot of free agents out there, like Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees. I expect most of them to end up with their team that they're on now. So we'll see what happens. But the bottom line is, Deshaun Watson, to me, epitomized. He did the same thing at Clemson, getting out of tough spots. He broke that tackle. And to have the presence of mind to make that pass, and then for that guy to shred for 30 yards more, and to get them in field goal range, was nothing short of remarkable.
And this was Deshaun Watson talking about that 16-point comeback.
Honestly, they gave their best shot. You know, in that first half, we knew exactly what they were going to do in the second half. And, you know, all we had to do is just kind of, you know, get back on routine and find that rhythm, especially on offense and the defense. You know, JJ with the sack and the guys making heck of a plays. But we wasn't going to. It was a long game. This is what the NFL is about, especially the playoffs. So definitely you're going to keep fighting, and that's what we did.
That is, you can't underscore that point enough. You're down 16-0. That doesn't mean the game is over. There's a lot of football left to play. Never give up. That's my motto. Never give up.
Yeah, there's no, you don't give up, and that's the way it's got to be. Deshaun Watson's a champion. Mm. I mean, pure and simple. He's a champion. He showed you what he was made of.
He really is.
I mean, let's be honest about it. Bottom line is that we can possibly say that if Deshaun Watson plays for the Texans every year, especially with Andrew Luck retiring and stuff like that, they're in good hands. And what did I talk about last week? The coaches and the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs. Take a look at them all. I mean, I'm looking at the lines coming up for next week, folks. Okay, did you see the lines for next week, Aldo?
I took a quick glance at them, yes.
All right, Saturday we got the Vikings and 49ers. You got Kirk Cousins and Zimmer. And then you got Garoppolo And Shanahan, you got -6.5 for the 49ers. You got the Ravens -9 against the Titans. That's a big, big number, man. People still don't believe in the Titans, or they believe too much in the Ravens. Then you have the Texans -9.5 down to the Chiefs, and then the Packers -4 against the Seahawks. So those are your – and look at all the coaches. Pete Carroll, you know, all winners. Pete Carroll. Bill, I think the guy that surprised everybody was Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien needed a win like this to show me that he can coach through the tough times.
Yeah, I am with you 100% there, because there just been all these doubts about, you know, key people with the Texans organization. Can Watson do in the pros what he did at Clemson? Can Bill O'Brien win the big game?
It sounds like Ryan Pace thought not.
Yeah, really. He didn't even meet with the guy. It's unbelievable. I don't get it.
Well, that's a stain that I can't get out.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the coffee stain that you just got to throw the shirt out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bottom line is that is going to haunt him forever. That Ryan Pace pick is, unless Trubisky does something, but you're seeing the other quarterbacks at a much faster pace get ahead of the game, and then you're seeing also the situation where you've got other quarterbacks who are passing him up. I mean, look, you know, but that doesn't mean Trubisky can't take that next jump. Look, I think next year for the Bears is going to be one of the most interesting years in the last 20. Because I don't think Bear fans even know what's going to happen. I do know this. We'll probably be picked for third or fourth. You can't pick the Chicago Bears after Minnesota and Green Bay are both in the playoffs. Is anybody going to pick the Bears to finish ahead of those two teams, Aldo? I don't think that's going to happen.
Not unless they do something monumental and with player acquisition during the offseason, like pick up a veteran quarterback that we could all say, okay, this guy can lead us to the playoffs, unlike what Mitch is projecting right now in his development, that he's not a guy that we could hitch our wagon to and say, take us to the playoffs. So player acquisition this offseason is huge for the Chicago Bears.
You know what? Brady was going to leave New England. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't go to the Bears. I wouldn't. The past haunt would scare the hell out of me.
He might.
You know where I'd go, though? Who? You know where I'd go if I were him?
Who?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, Bruce Arians and Tom
Arians.
Brady?
Look, that team's good. If you don't throw interceptions, you got Evans, you got a Galloway, you got a couple good receivers, you got a tight end, you got a good line. It's the turnovers.
I think
they challenge for that division if Tom Brady went there. Or even Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
As bad as he's been, and him and Winston have led the league 1-2 since 2015 in turnovers. I'm just telling you, there's some quarterbacks out there that can help certain teams. I'm just concerned that the Bears are an 8-8 squad next year, too.
I am very concerned as well, Mike. I am very,
well, because
very
we're being
concerned.
Realistic. We're seeing two teams that are in our division in the playoffs. We're not trying to be sourpusses or bad sports here. Hey, guess what time it is, Aldo?
Oh, is it that time already? Let's do this!
That's right. 32-23, that's me. You know what? Well, we were 1-2-1 last week. That's okay. You got to have a stinker every so often. That's okay. We're 9 games above 500. Let me tell you this, folks. We got a game tonight. This is the game of games. You don't want to miss this. In other words, Eldo's going, what could Mike possibly have up his sleeve? Now, there's going to be a bowl game tonight, but I've already picked that bowl game. It's Miami of Ohio versus Louisiana Lafayette. Louisiana Lafayette's 10-3. Miami of Ohio is 8-5. It's a -14.5 for Louisiana Lafayette. That game is up along with three NBA games up at VegasScoresAndOdds.com. Let me tell you something, folks. It's been good lately. It had been a grind, but guess what happened? I opened it up yesterday. I said, I'm tired of picking one game. I'm tired of picking two games. I'm going to basically go with 6 games. So yesterday I go 5-1 for the month. I am 47-43. NFL, last 7 days, 2-0. I had New England, and I had Minnesota. Okay? I say Philadelphia. I know Carmen's not going to be happy about this for the odds couple. College basketball, 8-2. College football the last 30 days, not as good. 13 and 15. You can't win them all, kids. You can't win them all. But just go with me on Vegas Scores and Odds. Follow us at VSAO Sports. Also follow Aldo at Aldo Gandia. And follow me at NorthToNorth.com. Now, it's time for the pick of the day. And this pick is going to be something that you wouldn't even expect coming from me, because now we're going to start having some basketball up there, okay? Now, it's a limited schedule tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you got games like Norfolk State, Florida A&M, Bethune-Cookman, Alabama A&M. Well, guess what? Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there is a spread on the Southern versus Prairie View game at 8 o'clock, okay? The over-under is 140. Take the over 140 tonight. I believe it's on ESPNU. At least it was listed at that earlier. Check it out. Take the over 140 and a half with a team that everybody adores, Prairie View. I couldn't tell you where it's at. I don't know what day it is. When it's, I don't know if Prairie View is open every day. I don't know just if it's a night school. But Prairie View, take them on the over 140. I'll go back to you.
I love it, Mike. Prairie View.
I don't know. I have no idea where they're at. I'm just going off memory.
I think that they are somewhere in Texas.
I was going to figure that. Anything with Prairie, you think Texas.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Prairie Dog, Prairie View. You know?
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. You have brought up the Chicago Bears just prior to our break there to get your pick of the day. I want to talk about that press conference. What did you think of the fact that the Bears addressed their assistant coach situation by saying, we're going to reflect on that. And then an hour after the press conference is over, we learn that four assistant coaches have been fired. And one of those was the offensive coordinator, Mark Helfrich. Your thoughts about how the Bears handled that?
Horribly. And if I would have been at that press conference, I'd be livid. I mean, they treated the press like patsies.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they treat them. If you don't like it, tough, get out. We're going to tell you what we want to tell you. I thought it was dishonest. I thought it was despicable because they didn't want to go under the heat. Well, how come those four are getting the heave-ho? What were they doing wrong? What did you see? See, when you wait till afterwards, Aldo, to announce something like that, you basically took out 20 potential questions that you would have had to deal with.
Easily, yeah.
Why did Helfrich leave? What was Helfrich doing wrong? I thought you were calling the plays, Matt, not him. Why is he to blame? His offense seems to move pretty good when he was coaching on his own. You know, is it his fault that it didn't, you know, just stuff like that. And then the other coaches, what were their mistakes? And if they weren't a lot of mistakes, then how come they have to pay for their mistakes, but you don't have to pay for your mistakes?
Exactly.
You know, were these the same coaches that you won the Coach of the Year award with?
Right.
You know, some of them. Not all of them. But did you win the Coach of the Year award? Yes, I did. Well, explain to me. Did they get bonuses after you won it? Because they're getting fired when you don't, you know? That would get me thrown out.
Yep, you would have been thrown
out. Nobody will ask those questions. But here's the thing. They didn't even present it.
Exactly.
They treat the Bear media like saps, period. End of story. They treat the public like saps. People are going to wake up sooner or later and see this. I mean, you're seeing other teams looking to pick up quarterbacks like Tennessee. You know, do you think Tennessee gave a rat's rooty-tooty about Marcus Mariota and where they picked him?
Mm-hmm.
No. So, but all of a sudden, we still got to stick with Mitch. Because he was your pick, why don't you have the Tennessee Titans attitude? We're not going we may not go anywhere with this guy, especially in this division. We better go get a veteran and see what happens, like maybe happened in Tennessee. But they'll never do that.
They will never do that. Now, let me ask you this, Mike. Do you think that they were bluffing? Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were bluffing when they were saying that Mitch Trubisky is the 2020 quarterback. Remember, this is a general manager who went through great pains to hide the fact that they were interested in Mitch Trubisky. I think they're kind of misdirecting here, and Trubisky really isn't assured that starting quarterback job, just like they really did a number on Mike Glennon when they signed him as a free agent quarterback and then to sent him to the draft so he could sign autographs.
I could rate Mike Glennon now in slippers and beat him.
That's for sure.
Maybe. You know what? The Mike Glennon thing will always be, did they work him out? I mean, my God. I mean, when he went back to pass, I would have said, cut! You know what I mean?
He would have been better with the Bulls. He would have been better as a basketball player.
I mean, look, bottom line is that he should have competition. He should have competition. He doesn't know how to play the position yet. Did anybody ask what I asked them? People ask me, what would I ask? And I said, are you going to play your starters in the preseason? Did anybody ask?
I don't think so. I listened to it all.
That's the stuff I would ask him. I knock them off. They're worried about, we got to explain ourselves in this. No, let's learn about next year. Are you going to do the same dumb things this next year that you did this year?
That's right. That's a good way to put it.
Seriously, it didn't work. It didn't work for the Rams. Who didn't play their... It didn't work this year. So, 2020, if Mitch is going to take that, if he's going to be the quarterback of 2020, does that mean that Stafford, Rodgers, and Cousins were flukes?
Hmm.
Come on. If you told me right now, folks, I'm telling you straight up, you can keep Mitch or take one of the three quarterbacks in the division. I would take one of the three. I don't have to say who. I don't think many Bear fans would stick with Mitch.
I would spin the bottle and be happy wherever the bottle landed. Those three.
Absolutely right, pal. Yeah. If it came Matthew Stafford's your worst quarterback in the division after Mitch, are you kidding me? I said all year long, and I'll stick to my guns, Detroit got screwed when he got hurt because they didn't have enough depth. And I also said, they can get all the different coaches they want in Dallas. If they had Matthew Stafford instead of Dak Prescott, I think they'd go places. Because there's never been a team in Detroit that surrounded Stafford with the talent that Dallas has. Never.
That's for sure. I have to agree with you there. I definitely have to agree with you there.
Give him those receivers. Give him Zeke Elliott. Give him Jason Witten and that big offensive line. My God, if there's been a failure, it's that somebody hasn't offered a package for that guy because I think he's a difference maker. You think Tannehill changed things? Get him off Detroit. Get him off Detroit and see what he does somewhere else because if he came on the Bears, we'd be Super Bowl contenders.
I'm with you 110%. 110%.
Now it's the quarterback and the coach with us, but the coach is calling the plays that he thinks – that the quarterback can pull off. And that's not a whole lot of plays, folks.
Well, Chubb's 82.
I love Chubb!
But he doesn't love your decision to go with Aaron Rodgers over Mitch Trubisky.
Good. Well, enjoy watching him on TV this week. He's 13-3. Enjoy the ambiance of your home as you're watching Aaron Rodgers lead the Green Bay Packers. Are you crazy, Chubbs?
Now, to Chubb's point, Aaron Rodgers has not looked like the quarterback that he is. But if people are going to make excuses for Mitch Trubisky about the receivers running the wrong routes, about the offensive line and so forth, I got 101 excuses for Aaron Rodgers. He's got no receivers other than Devontae Adams. He's got an old tight end.
I wanted Jordy Nelson back for him. For God's sake, what is Sterling Sharp doing? Anybody, right?
Sterling Sharp, that'd be great.
Where's Boyd Dollar? Boyd Dollar's in his 80s. Anything. Get him out there.
I love it.
I used to love Boyd Dollar.
Oh, and a party animal, too, from reports that I heard.
Oh, my guy, Boyd Dollar would eat us alive. Twice a year. There was a Christmas and New Year's at the Dollar household was playing the Bears. great stuff. But you know what? I'm just saying, Chubbs, please. Aaron Rodgers, I didn't think he was capable. I don't know what he did wrong this year, sort of like Brady. He sets these high standards, or people do for themselves. But I'm sorry, man. They won 13 games. And Aldo and I, at the beginning of the season, looked at each other like, how are they going to win 13 games?
Yeah.
Think about it. Aldo just said he's got nobody. Look where they're at.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it really is true. This Green Bay Packers team doesn't have the talent that the Chicago Bears, and yet they're in the playoffs and the Bears are not. And
if Aaron Rodgers is on the Bears, we're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If Trubisky's on Green Bay, he's being booed.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm serious.
It's true.
I didn't even look, just like Kyle Long. Last night I saw Kyle Long retired. Okay? Great, seems like a great guy. Okay? I had some issues with Kyle Long, but I also knew he had some talent. But I said he was broken down, plus he had some helmet swinging stuff. But you know what? His career's over, and I wasn't a hater anyway. He seems like a great guy, so I said good luck on Twitter. He answers me back. Thanks, Mike, because he listens to people. I know this. He seems like a good guy, and, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. I really, really do. But, you know, there's times you got to move on. And you know what? The Bears don't even have an established line. They've lost Kyle. They've lost some other people. They've had injuries. And the quarterback, my son, they're saying he's going to be the quarterback of 2020, although we'll wait and see.
There you go. All right, let's switch subjects here. I want to talk about Mike McCarthy being hired as the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. McCarthy, 13 seasons with the Green Bay Packers, took them to a Super Bowl win in 2010. He's had 8 seasons out of those 13 of 10 wins or more, and that's the most of any Green Bay Packers coach in the history of the franchise. Do you like this move? McCarthy going to the Cowboys.
I love it. And I love what he's done. You know, he hired a bunch of coaches that were out of work and stuff.
That's right.
That they've been doing some different stuff with scouting, and he had a little network going. He hasn't just sat around and, you know, rested on his laurels or the money that he made. He's tried to get better. I think, you know, they said Jerry Jones, I know Jerry Jones has a big house. He stayed a sleepover last night. Where he stayed overnight, which means that's solid. I mean, he wasn't even going to let him out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great pickup for Dallas, and I think being a good quarterback coach as he is and having worked with guys like Aaron Rodgers, and nobody's going to tell me he didn't help him. I know Aaron Rodgers is talented, but they won a Super Bowl, and bottom line is they haven't won another one.
Right.
So there's no doubt the chip's on the shoulder of Mike McCarthy.
Right. And you mentioned that he has been meeting with coaches, NFL Network did a feature on Mike McCarthy because he did a brilliant thing during his year off. He rebranded himself. He put together a whole team of coaches. They looked at film and so forth. I got a clip from that show where they highlighted this. Take a listen to Mike McCarthy talking about him meeting with a group of coaches and what they did.
Frankly, we fell into it. You watch video, stay on top of what's going on in the NFL and in college. As we sat down and collaborated, the ideas grew, and the fact of keeping the group tight became a focus because it enabled us to get a lot more work done. So kind of a Monday through Friday operation. We wrote things down and made a board. And so the ability to share all the information, but still make progress towards just being ready for this next opportunity. And on a personal level, I think it's helped all of us.
That is amazing. He did a great job of rebranding himself and making himself ready. I heard that the interview that he had was just outstanding. Jerry Jones was just floored by how prepared he was and what he would do with the franchise and so forth, with the Cowboys franchise. So good luck to him. Hopefully that's a good move for him personally, as long as they don't beat the Chicago Bears. I don't care.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a great move for them, and I'm happy for him. He seemed to be made the scapegoat when things went down a little bit at Green Bay. I think it was a combination of a lot of things. Bottom line is they were going to keep the quarterback. And that's, you've seen how the new fresh face LaFleur has done with them. This is not going to be a new fresh face, but a different face. You know, just like what I did. You know, for years I was the guy that was on the station. I've been called everything from a shock jock to you name it. Well, I'm more into the gambling thing now. You change up a little bit. You give people something else to look at. You show them a side of you that maybe they didn't see before. There's no question in my mind that I'm better now than I was when I started in 92 on the radio all the way. And all the years have made me better. You know what? But when you change, you're not only better, but you're different. And when you're different, the change is more dramatic. You just got to make sure you're on your game, which I was lucky enough to be. And I think, and I'm just using that as a layman's terms, I'm not patting myself on the back or anything like that. I'm just saying what he's doing, he did the same thing. He changed his act. I think he was seen as a guy that was a little bit stubborn, a little bit slovenly, wasn't, he depended on Aaron Rodgers. I think he's out to prove a lot of people wrong, and I think this is the perfect game for him to do it.
I'm with you 100%. Every several years or so, you've got to reinvent yourself. You got to stay with the times and stuff, and that's what Mike McCarthy has done. He did a brilliant, brilliant job of it, and he shared what he was doing throughout the season so that the NFL and fans and so forth were aware of what he was doing, and that has now paid off dramatically.
That was a great little deal that they did there. And it just shows you the hours of dedication and hard work I put in getting ready for this program. And I didn't even, Aldo and I don't talk about this. Aldo puts his heart into this. But you didn't tell me you had that cut, did you?
No, I didn't.
That was a great cut. I saw it on the NFL Network. And you're right. And it was smart of him to film it.
Yeah, it really was. Brilliant move by. All right, now. Is it a brilliant move by Tua Tagovailoa, I think I said it correctly, the quarterback from Alabama, to forego his senior year in the NFL? He suffered a dramatic hip injury, and he has met with general managers. He was asked, how many NFL general managers have you met with? And he said, too many. And so, but apparently what they have told him is that he probably will be a high draft pick and that he should go into the NFL. Do you think Tua is making a good decision?
Well, I don't know. First of all, most of these scouts don't know anything.
Right.
To be honest with you, I'm going to be straight up. And you know what? I'm just going to put everybody, I'll try to put everybody in the shoes of the GM. The first thing I'd ask Aldo, for instance, is when you're talking about a guy like him, how many people are out to walk into a brand new car lot and say, I'd like a 2020 Cadillac that's been totaled, and then you fixed it, but I want one that's been totaled? How many people do that?
None.
All right. I want to buy, hey, there's a house for sale here. Yeah, could you give me the house that had the busted piping and the bad plumbing? Yeah. I mean, we'll try to put in some new plumbing. That's what this guy is. If you're the Miami Dolphins or anybody else, you're taking the chance of a lifetime, I think.
Yeah.
And I hope he makes it. But, man, that was a badass injury. And he doesn't really, you know what, I understand why he wants to go pro. And they're going to do a sell job on him like they do on anybody else. But I wouldn't want damaged goods, and that's what you're getting. How many times you hear, hey, the guy drove the car off the lot. He got in an accident a block away. It depreciated $5,000. That was an accident, folks. So as good as he may be, I'd be taking a chance if I was. I wouldn't take him if I was the GM.
He has had a history of injuries in his collegiate career, so it appears, and you know, a lot of times that's just bad luck, but you've got to be concerned also is he durable enough to play in the NFL? Now, he was asked at the press conference, and this sort of is, again, Mike, we're kind of working on the same synergy or whatever the word is.
Right.
Because
we're agreeing a lot today. We're going to have a meeting.
That's right. He was asked.
Aldo, me and you, we go into a furniture store. Yeah, I'm looking for a lamp that was recently put back together after it fell off the end table and broke. Do you have something like that? Nobody does that. Who does that?
Nobody ever. Hey, well,
guy got wheeled off like he was in like a war. He got wheeled off, man.
And he's still on crutches. But now he was asked, when you met with all these GMs and scouts, did they kind of tell you where you might get drafted? This was his response.
I don't think I can tell you that. I don't think any of the teams can tell you that. You know, it really depends on, you know, how the doctor's report goes, you know, with my MRI, my x-rays at the 3-month mark.
That doesn't instill a lot of confidence in anybody, right?
If it's all right with you, I mean, seriously, I'll just step on the third rail and end my life shortly. What the hell kind of answer is that? My God, there's no way Aldo, you know me, I know my quarterbacks. From Cutler to Russell Wilson and everybody in between, I wouldn't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. Let everybody else spend to Miami. The Miami Dolphins or anybody else, if they take this kid, he's going to have to show them. But, boy, to come back now and you're on crutches and saying, I'm not going to go back to college. I'm going to just walk right in like this. I mean, I saw what happened to him. It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. And so let me ask you this. If he falls to the second round, the Bears have 2 second-round draft picks. Do you then take a chance on Tua?
No.
No, huh? You're...
I take somebody else. There's other quarterbacks, I'm sure, that we can look at. Because the injury changes everything. But he was so good. Look, it's a shame. But, you know, Willis McGahee, I remember he broke his leg in the Orange Bowl, and then the guy went on to have a great career, but he never was the same guy. I think when you get hurt like that, like Gale Sayers got hurt, even though he came back, led the league in rushing, you're never the same. And I think that was the type of injury where he sure as hell isn't going to be what he was beforehand. That's just my opinion.
I'm with you. Mike, yep. We have had another great show.
Did we do another great show? What number are we on?
It is number 97.
And Vegas Scores and Odds is there to see it all. God bless them all. I'll tell you what, man. We had a lot to talk about today. Once again, we'll be back on Wednesday, folks. Like Aldo says, check your local listings. We're always on at noon. We'll have the podcast up. Don't forget to follow VSAO Sports. Follow Aldo Gandia. Follow North to North, N-O-R-T-H, the number 2 N-O-R-T-H. Good time as always, my friend.
Thank you, Mike North. I love you, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday. One quick programming note. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the debut of Bellissimo, George Bayless.
I love Bellissimo. Is there going to be an English accent?
Ah, yes. There is. We'll be talking about tea.
I'm proud of Britain, my friend. I just watched a thing on the Queen and the Smithsonian, Bellissimo.
There you go. Awesome.
George. Oh, yeah. That movie, The Queen, with...
Yeah.
What's her name? Kate Blanchett,
yes.
Very good.
Good.
Very good.
I'll have to check that out.
I
got a feeling that BB suggested that movie, right?
Oh, I'm into musicals now. But we'll talk about that later.
All right. Join us tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, for the debut of Bellissimo. Mike North, we'll see you here on Wednesday. Take care, brother.
All right, brother. Goodbye, Bear.